Welcome to the Parenting with Impact podcast with your hosts, Elaine Taylor Klaus and Diane Dempster, co-creators of ImpactParents.com, an online community, award-winning blog, and service organization, helping parents all over the world to raise complex kids become capable, independent adults.
Hi, everyone. Elaine and Diane here. And we know that you want your complex kids to grow up to be happy and independent. And yet you're not always sure how or when to help with that.
In this podcast, we'll encourage you to collaborate with all kinds of complex kids and support them in navigating life and learning.
And we'll interview leading experts from around the world, as well as parents in our own community, talking about how training for parents actually helps these complex kids.
We'll talk about the issues we hear parents struggling with all the time and how a coach approach can support and empower your amazing young people.
We won't tell you what to do. We're going to help you figure out how. So let's move on to the next conversation.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Diane, and we're welcoming you back to another episode of the Parenting with Impact podcast. I'm excited to be here today with Derek Baton, one of my new friends. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but Derek, thanks so much for joining me today. And
thanks for having me.
Our audience.
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your backstory. What got you into doing what you're doing, and what do you do?
Yeah, sure. Well, first off, again, I want to thank you for having me here. It is really such an honor. I really admire and respect the work that you're doing and the community that you're building. It's very inspiring. So thank you. And I'm happy to be here. So yeah, my background and story and how that relates to what I do day to day. I started my career in finance, moved into technology, moved into startups, eventually made my way into consulting, all sort of with a focus on business development. But just before the pandemic, I was building my own consulting practice. I was working with founders of like early stage companies. And a lot of the work that I was doing was around, was kind of coaching. Like it was a lot of like teaching about how to connect with, how to sell to their like ideal customers. And then, you know, with the world upside down, you know, I had an opportunity to join a more well-established consulting firm. And so I had to take that opportunity given the circumstances. And it was a good opportunity, but after kind of that taste of entrepreneurship and also doing work that I felt more connected to, I just didn't feel right with it. I was also seeing just technology kind of move at a pace that was making me a little uncomfortable too. And just overall things were just kind of draining. I was seeing my kids often because I was working from home, but it just felt like a challenge because I didn't feel like I could be present when I was with them. I was, you know, thinking about a million other things as we all do. And so, yeah, during that time, yeah, it was just confusing. And I was on paper, you know, things looked good. It was seeing some success. I was interested in side projects, but again, I felt like kind of controlled by this like doubt or fears or just like a feeling of kind of negativity. And so, yeah, I thought I should hire a coach. I was interested in coaching as a way to explore some of these imbalances and to try to kind of find my way. And then in terms of like my ADHD background, I was diagnosed as a kid. I was that like typical hyperactive kid, started around second grade. And medication at the time when I was a kid was effective, but over time it became less effective. And I just like felt this uncomfortable sort of weird feeling in my body that things were off, that I wasn't able to fully express myself. And so yeah, I've got over time, over the years, had different sort of experiences with that. But yeah, kind of coming back to coaching and why I was looking for a coach is I was just looking for other alternatives. Like what are some other ways that I can, you know, kind of get a handle on ADHD or better understand how it may be impacting my life. And through that whole process, it was amazing. My coach, Ryan, former coach, I still keep in contact with him. He's a great guy. Ryan Mayer, if anybody's looking to, he's a great guy. But yeah, it just like helped a ton and kind of gave me the clarity that I needed, help reframe some of those perceived weaknesses and see them as strengths. And I know we're going to kind of talk a little bit more about that. But one of those key areas is just like this movement, you know, since early age as a kid, I was moving so much. It was like, you know, sit still, slow down, just wait or what, just, you know, keep still. And so, yeah, I just kind of always saw that as like something that I had to control. And then I just saw like athletics as something that's just sort of separate, like, oh, that's just like an outlet that I do. But yeah, he really just sort of helped me reframe a lot of things. And then during that whole process, it also developed the clarity to leave my job at the time. So I was, again, working for a big consulting firm, decided to leave that career and be a stay-at-home dad. I have two little girls. They were ages 2 and 4 at the time. And just saw this as like this beautiful, like magical time that I wanted to be more a part of, be more present for. And also just like we had a really neat, a big need as a family to have some consistency and stability for them. And so I took that opportunity, and through the coaching that I was getting during that process too, I was able to kind of see some of those strengths shifted or reframed, and see how that connected to a lot of the work I was doing on the like consulting and coaching side. And decided I wanted to explore if coaching would be a possible career path, and started my training, started practicing with a couple clients, and the rest was kind of history there. So yeah.
Well, I love that. And there's so many different threads to pull from that, but part of what I'm hearing as part of your own story is this strengths identification, right? It's just sort of, you're in corporate, you're doing some stuff, it doesn't quite feel like a good fit, but if you can pull out of that, oh, this is what I really love, this is what I'm really good at. How does the movement tie into that? Because you were talking about that as an adjunct to the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for one, like just understanding like discomfort in a different way, like understanding like a feeling of discomfort as a moving body. I'm not sure exactly what was the like light bulb moment for that, but it was, I started to see these moments of annoyance or struggle or whatever as kind of a temporary thing. Actually, I think the thing that helped me see that was like movement and exercise itself. And the fact that I would go for these, runs or do some sort of intense, exercise. And, you know, we get hit with that trigger in our mind of like, oh, this is hard. Like I'm breathing heavy. I'm getting tired. When am I going to stop? And then I was able to like, look at that. I was able to see that thought and be like, oh, when am I going to stop? Like I'm starting to think about stopping. I'm starting to think about the fact that I'm tired and I want to stop. And I could recognize that and continue to kind of push through that. So that was probably what helped me sort of realize that. But when I was going through this transition, I just started to lean into more of like, I can see that when I do this movement, when I wake up early and get it done, like everything else seems to be like so much easier. Everything else seems to be clearer. And even like I had a standing desk, like simple little things that seemed to like make such a big impact. I would, like I said, I was working from home, but I noticed the significant difference in just how I would feel if I had a day where I'm sitting at the desk and have back-to-back Zoom calls for 6 hours or more, and the days where I like made myself like take that break and go for a walk, or if I was standing at my desk instead of sitting. So that's probably when it all started to really kind of come in.
Well, so let's take a step back, because what you're describing is that, you know, we talk about the ADHD brain needing dopamine upcharge, right? We need more dopamine to the ADHD brain, and ADHD meds can do that. And we always talk about activating the brain, and there's so many different ways to activate the brain, whether it's healthy foods or good sleep or exercise or whatever else. What you're describing for you is that using movement, you could actually feel the difference in your body, and it was part of what you were using to help support you and support your brain in being more effective. Is that?
Yeah, no, that's definitely right. And I think the other thing that came up when you were saying that, it was like, yes, there's the recognition and understanding that we need to feed our brain some form of dopamine, because if not, we're going to go seeking for it. And so, yeah, it was like upfront, I need to give myself the dopamine that I think it needs. And a lot of that came from understanding and learning more about dopamine and its relationship, our brain's relationship with it. But there was certainly that piece of needing to kind of feed that and create that sort of steadier state afterwards. But what also is coming up when you're saying that is that before, there was always this feeling like I needed to suppress that instinct for movement. Like I needed to harness, or I needed to like withhold that, like, hey, there's, I'm feeling all this frenetic energy that's going on, and I need to control that, because if I don't, I'm going to get, you know, in trouble by the teacher, or I'm going to be like, you know, told right. all these different things, right? And as soon as I started to like notice that, and instead of like judge that as, okay, here's that bad energy again, like, here you go again, Derek, there's something wrong with you, you're moving around too much, like, just try to get yourself to control that. It's like, well, how is that belief serving me, when every time I say that to myself, I still feel this energy and I still have nothing to do with it. So I started to look at it like, okay, how might I be able to use that in a positive way? Or how might I be able to, or what might I be able to do to make use of that at a different time, so that, you know,
I'm dancing between two different levels, because like, we're talking about a struggle that you had as a kid, right? It's sort of bottom line. You were that kid that was moving all the time. Every teacher, every parent was like, Derek, sit still. Derek, sit still. Derek, sit still. Right. It's a sort of,
I might still be that kid. Yeah.
You might still be that kid. Right. I haven't been tracking your movements here as we've been recording, but in what you were able to do is to go, oh, wait, that could have been considered a deficit. It was considered a deficit, and you flipped that. Right. And so how often, like, fast forwarding, right, you work with kids and young adults who have ADHD, and you were talking about your coach helping you find your own strengths. I mean, part of this is the invitation, the opportunity to say, okay, what are the challenges or perceived challenges that I have, and how could they somehow be gifts or strengths in disguise? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just jumped there. Did you follow me?
Yeah. And that is such a tricky thing, right? It, like, I try to put myself back in my younger self's shoes. It's like, it was so reinforced, right? That this is something that is abnormal, that other people are not moving around as much. And so to try to say, hey, what, you moving around a lot, like, that's a strength. That's a great thing. Like, I don't know how well that would be perceived, maybe, but what you're saying is certainly one of the challenges we have as coaches. And it's to find ways to, you know, to get our clients or to question that belief, and to point out or highlight the evidence that we're seeing from them that points to the contrary.
Okay, so let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we can talk a little bit more about maybe how parents can help their kids do it, even if they're not working with a coach.
Okay.
Hi, it's Elaine. And if you like this podcast, you'll love our coach approach. Whether you're a parent looking for support or a professional supporting families, we invite you to download a free guide with 12 key coaching tools at impactparents.com/gift. You can begin using a coach approach to help kids become more independent or improve all of your conversations at work and at home. That's impactparents.com/gift.
All right. So I'm here with Derek Baton, and we're talking about strengths. We're talking about movement. We're talking about, I think, how a perceived deficit for you really became something that ended up turning out to be supportive. And as we were just talking a few minutes ago, I was thinking about how Dr. Ned Hollowell always talks about the gifts in the struggle, right? It's this sort of, you know, we want to have a strengths-based approach, and part of what our kids struggle with is challenge, 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 challenge. And so if you're game, I'd like to flip the conversation a little bit to really talk to parents and say, okay, so you've got kids with struggles. What is the opportunity here to really help them to maybe see some of the gifts in that, or to capitalize on it, or to go, okay, wait, you're really good at this over here. How do we use that over here? And it's a classic coaching tool, but I think it could be helpful for parents.
Oh, definitely. I mean, to think of like how much information we now have and how much more awareness there is around this situation, around this topic, around the fact that, it's almost like, is this a challenge or is this a strength? Is it a weakness? Is it a challenge? Or it just is, right? Like, we're all just unique individual humans, and we all have the way that we are. And so it's like, just like we do as coaches, like, meet them where they are and try to find, you know, what lights them up, what makes them come alive, and go deeper there. And so that probably sounds more like general, but I think, you know, within this context, And especially around movement, especially if it is a kid that has the like hyperactive kind of tendencies. I think one thing, one like maybe tactical thing you can do as a parent is try to better understand their processing modalities. When I was going through coach training, this was like the biggest aha for me. And this is a lot of what I talked about of like embracing it further of like, oh my gosh, like I have like a kinetic processing modality. When I am moving, I am able to understand things 10 times better. And so it's funny you mentioned like Ned Halliwell. I remember listening to his book maybe 10 years ago while I was on a run. And that was like, and that was the first time I really was able to understand it. Like, oh, wow, this is what the ADHD thing is. And this is how it can be like a big strength and whatever, you know. Obviously, there's a bunch of like internal shame and things you got to get through. So during coach training, understanding that this kinetic energy was, or this kinetic processing modality was a thing, meaning that when I'm moving, I can either understand or listen to or comprehend or retain information better. And so I was like, oh, let me play with this. Like, what does this look like? I mean, I obviously feel like I know what this means when I'm running and I listen to stuff. Like I like listening to audiobooks or podcasts, or if I'm listening to nothing, like I notice all my creative ideas start to come out and I feel like I need to kind of capture them while I'm on a run or in a shower or whatever it is for whoever it is. And yeah, so I would start taking some of the classes while I was on a bike. And I was like, oh wow, like my urge to fidget or mess around with other things or to check other things or for my attention to wander is vastly like lower when I'm on the bike.
When you're on the bike. Well, it's so funny. Yeah. I'm thinking about so many different things, but like my kids, when they were little, we would do spelling words on the trampoline. Like they would sit and they would jump.
That's
and
awesome.
We would do, yeah, because it was, and I think it's the processing piece of it. What you're speaking to though, is like really taking the minute to try to understand and help your kids understand how does your brain work, right? Not just, are you ADHD? Are you not? Do you have anxiety? Whatever it is, but also what are the environments where you best learn? What do you notice? I have one kid who's a visual processor and one that's more of an auditory processor. And like, just even again, spelling words, right? Trying to figure out how do I help this one learn spelling words was completely different than this one. Because at this one, I could do like the way I memorize stuff. And this one was like, no, mom, I don't get it that way. And so we had to kind of morph and find another way to do it. But part of the opportunity here is to, again, help your kid figure out or figuring out on behalf of your child, what are the things that you notice about what makes it easier for them to learn, what makes it harder for them to learn. And then just knowing that that's true, right? I think about your comment about movement, you think better when you move, period. Right. That's the end of the sentence. You have a kid that moves a lot, period. Right. So if that's the case, how do we just take that, meet that kid where they are and then grow from that? So what would you say to parents? I mean, it can be complicated, but what would you say to parents to like help them figure out, hey, how can I help my kid figure this all out?
Yeah. I think what you just said there is so key to that. And that's like, it's really thinking about the angle at which we're approaching it, right? Are we wanting to help them figure out their movement so they can stop moving and they could like, or are we trying to help them to learn better? Are we trying to help them fit in more? Like all these different angles that we might be coming at it from are really important because the kid is going to feel that. And we all obviously want to help our kids with the best intentions. And oftentimes we go into these conversations, these things are kind of happening.
Wanting them to fit in more than we want them to. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
I just mean, I think a lot of these things can be like subconscious. Like I think so maybe take the time to think about, okay, what is it that we ultimately want? And then how can we help them see the way to get there? It's not necessarily always about like, let's get to the result of like, all right, A to B, we got to get from no homework to finished homework and whatever it takes to kind of get to that. It's like, well, let's figure out what that journey looks like and how they're learning about getting from A to B, how they're navigating that journey. And kind of like what you said of what feels like an easier way to get there. I don't know. I think I might've danced around the question
for a second, because like what you were saying, we teach this all the time in Sanity School and in our other programs. It's my way may not be their way.
Yeah.
Like, is this sort of my way might be sit quietly in a room, not having any sounds at all. And their way might be like music blast. My kid would be studying in his bedroom and like the music's blasting. And I'm like, how can you study in here? It's so loud. And it's like, I have a hard time with distraction. He loves distraction because it shuts off part of his brain so that the other part can learn. Right. And so how often do we as parents think that, well, it works for me, it must work for them, versus again, how do I help them figure out what works for them? So you're a dad. What do you do with your kiddos to try to help them navigate learning?
I do the same things that I was just saying. I'd be like, yeah, I come in with my own like subconscious, you know, bias or whatever. But I really try to stay curious and try to understand like what they might be thinking of, what, and why do they think that way? Or what is it about this that makes it easier for you? Or like in your example, you know, what is it about the loud music that makes it easier? Like, oh, now I can see how it allows you to kind of turn off the other distractions because you have this other thing. So it's movement. Like, yeah, what is it about? What is it about moving so much that you enjoy? Like, I don't know, just it helps me like do something with this like energy that's like won't stop, you know? So trying to like stay curious and really, you know, really kind of let them lead and try to explain. Obviously, this is easier said than done, is they're not going to want to talk about everything or don't have the, especially younger kids may not have the language to be able to express it or to understand it. But yeah, it's just as much as we can kind of stay curious to what it is about, you know, what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Well, and that word curiosity is such an important one. And I think that there's so many different ways to be curious. I have parents all the time who say, well, my kid doesn't have the emotional intelligence to be curious. Well, we can be curious on their behalf. We can, you know, part of what we talk about is experimentation, right? It's this sort of trying different things. And we can observe our kids and go, wow, that's really interesting that they're moving so much. Or, wow, it's really interesting that they're talking and processing. I'm an external processor, right? So instead of a kinetic processor, I can't think unless I can talk out loud, right? That's just the way my brain happens to work. But you're sitting there going, okay, so let me get curious. What works for my kid? What works? What doesn't work for my kid? And rather than just figuring it out and saying, okay, this is the way we got to do it, we're going to explore a bunch of different things and maybe have some fun in the midst of it, I'm guessing.
Right. And that's such a key word too, explore, you know, explore these things. It's a joint effort. It's not just, you know, your, as the parent, just your ideas. And I think the other thing to do is like, yeah, look at the things that they really enjoy and try to think of like bring within that context, within the, whether it's, you know, playing with dolls or, you know, while you're playing basketball or drawing a picture or playing music, you know, whatever these things are that they seem to be like drawn to naturally. Is there a way within that to explore, you know, some of these other things that you may want to be talking about or learning about or teaching?
We are sucking up the time here, Derek, and I need to figure out how to wrap
this
up.
So fun. Yeah.
Let's start by telling people how they can get in touch with you and learn more about what you do.
For sure. So there's a couple different ways. So I, you know, since going through coach training, I have my own sort of practice and work individually with adults with ADHD. And you can find me on my website, which is just derekbaton.com or really just.
We'll have it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also I've been getting more, I also work with another coaching practice, called Along Their Way, with Jamie Bloom. She's fantastic. She's done an incredible work with young adults, with families, parents, with everything. And so I'm getting the opportunity to work with her and her practice and do some stuff with young adults, and then also getting in some more parent coaching. So kind of depending on, where the need is or where the interest is, there are two great ways. And it's just alongtheirway.com. And I know they'll be in the show notes too. Those are a couple great options.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So wrap us up, Derek. What haven't we talked about that we want to make sure we don't miss, or what do you want to bring us back to wrap us up?
That's tough. We've covered so many different areas and there's so much that, you know, we could have, and we'd love to do this again sometime. I think the thing that come that I want to come back to is probably like deciding to leave the corporate world and be a stay-at-home dad and figure out kind of what's next was a very big transition on a number of levels. But I think within that, like what I kept coming back to and what I kept reminding myself as it was either challenging to feel productive because I've always been productive or challenging to feel like I was like, you know, finishing a project or just challenging because I was worried about my own like ego and identity and how this is shifting and everything. But just to like remind myself of just the, like the wonder of children and how like they are alive and like they are here. Like it's a miracle. Like it is just, and to get the opportunity to like spend that time with them and to learn from them, to learn through them, to grow alongside of them, to be able to be a part of their journey and helping them grow has been such a gift. And I don't know, I just, I guess that's the one thing that just feels like maybe we kind of, something to just highlight there.
Well, and I think so many of us who have, are parents of complex kids, we lose that connection because sometimes this stuff is hard, right? And I don't know whether your kids have ADHD as well, but it's easy to get caught up in the stuff and the getting the things done and the everything else. And what you're reminding us all of is just the beauty of the gift of having kids and being able to learn. I love that. Learn from them, grow through them, learn mm-hmm. through them, all those sorts of things. So Derek, thank mm-hmm. you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have a favorite quote or a model as we end up?
Yeah, I've got a couple. So I'm waffling. I'm going to stick with kind of the kids or parent theme. And the one I've been coming back to a lot and maybe will be helpful for other listeners is teach them to choose. And I think so often, and this is in context of our kids, of course, but so often, you know, we choose for them. We, whether it's out of a rush or, you know, we don't want to clean up a mess or we're annoyed or something. But of course that, you know, that choice comes as God. And obviously certain times we have to, like we're leaving the door, we're going to be late. Like we have to choose what shoes they're going to wear. But I just think like it's that so many of the lessons they can learn for themselves and so much of the confidence they can develop in themselves and so much of the challenges that we'll inevitably deal with down the road if we don't give them some of this agency and autonomy and to make some of these choices is just becomes harder. So yeah, I've been trying to remind myself of that, and with that comes the, of course, that I have to remind myself that I need to be patient and that I need to not be so tied to an outcome. So there's a lot of lessons within that simple phrase. Just teach them to choose.
Teach them to choose. Well, and give them space to choose, I would add.
Yeah.
Because so many times we are feeling like a rush and that there isn't an opportunity to choose. And and our kids are hungry for agency because our world doesn't provide a lot of it. So thank you for mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So Derek, thank you again for being here with me. And thank you for those of you who are listening. As we close off, as we always do, take a minute and capture some insights for yourself from our conversation today, whether it's about turning deficits into gifts, whether it's about identifying strengths, whether it's about movement and dopamine, whatever you happen to kind of grab out of our conversation today, what's an aha that you want to take back for yourself? And thank you, as we always do, for everything you're doing for yourself and for your kids at the end of the day. You make the difference. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to the Parenting with Impact podcast with Elaine and Diane. For more information on the Impact Parents community or to join Sanity School for Parents, please visit impactparents.com. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with friends who need similar guidance and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For the essentials of Elaine and Diane's coach approach to parenting, download a free tip sheet at impactparents.com/podcast.
Behavior therapy training for parents is actually recommended as a first-line treatment for complex kids. For information about Sanity School, our training program for parents or teachers, which has helped thousands of families around the globe, visit impactparents.com/sanity school.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.